I would call this 1,391st meeting of the Board of Directors to order. I would ask for an approval of the agenda. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We have a certification of the executive session of the Audit Committee. Mr. Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Audits and Investigations Committee certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the just concluded executive session of the committee and at the June 13, 2013 executive session of the committee, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive sessions were convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the committee. Do you have a second?
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We have a certification of the executive session just concluded of the full board. Mr. Downey.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the just concluded board executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws Article 10 and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Do I hear a second?
Or a second.
Second. Oh.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We have a motion for the approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, might I interrupt? We had an executive session on Monday that also needs a certification. It did say both?
Did it say both?
He said just so concluded.
Amend my motion to include both?
I think that would be a useful thing
both
to do.
Both today's and Monday's.
With the amendment and the motion and second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? We have before us a motion for the approval of the minutes of the November 21st meeting of the board. Motion to approve. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We have public comment. Two individuals who have signed up for a public comment. The first is Kishan Puta. Kishan, please come to the podium.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Kishan Puta. I'm an elected ANC commissioner in DuPont Circle. I'm here to ask you to improve and increase service on the highest ridership bus line in DC, the S bus line on 16th Street Northwest that runs through wards 4, 1, and 2. Specifically, to improve and augment rush hour service. I've heard from literally dozens of residents about this. Too many 16th Street passengers are routinely unable to access buses in the morning in a timely manner. They don't mind not getting a seat. They know rush hour means crowds. They mind not getting a bus. They mind watching bus after bus pass them by, sometimes full, sometimes not full, but with drivers who don't want to pick up more people. Last winter and spring, we advocated for a new service to help address this. Director Hamry was great to work with and got three extra buses to run short loops between downtown and Columbia Road. It's been a success. These buses are full with people who would otherwise have trouble catching a bus. But more and more people want to take the S buses, 1,000 more every weekday than 1 year ago, over 21,000 people per day, up from 20,000 people a day last year. The residents who cheered last spring with this extra service say that their problems are coming back again. More needs to be done. What we're asking for, four things. please hire more street-level managers to make the route run more efficiently. I believe this has already been budgeted for, but the staffing is necessary ASAP. Two, if possible, shift some resources, more and or larger buses to 16th Street. Three, do a pilot test of the rush hour dedicated bus lane proposals included in DDOT's draft Move DC plan. That's movedc.org. Lastly, find new funding for more and larger buses on 16th Street. I have already approached the DC Council about this as your budget process is just kicking off now. I look forward to working with the residents and hopefully with you all to address this important problem facing thousands of residents every day. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Very thoughtful. Next we have Denise Rush. Denise? Need a microphone, John?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to talk about an article that was written for Metro Access and the fare increase for the bus. I would like a better clarification, an article that is really explaining that there's not a cap increase on the $7, but the person that was paying $3.20 will no longer be paying $3.20. If the budget increase is approved, they'll really be paying an additional 50 cents. This is not clear to elderly and handicapped people who are using Metro Access. When July 1st comes and they call to serve, they're going to say, well, it says it's not an increase, but there is an increase. And it needs to be clearer that you're going to have an increase in bus fare and rail. That is connected to Metro Access fare. The article for the public.
Well, thank you for your comment. Christian, we'll talk to you to get some suggestions about ways of making clear the impact of the overall Metro rail and bus fare changes to all of the constituents of Access Service. So thank you for taking the time and effort to come. That concludes the individuals who have signed up to make a public comment. Next, we have the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
My beloved Mike, it seems to be working today. That's good.
All right.
Thank you very much for, I have a very short report, but what I want to say is I think we've had a good year. Between the rollout of Metro Access and in looking at the statistics that we have had over the last 6 months with the rollout in July, I think we're making very good progress. The amount of people that we have coming to our Metro Access subcommittee meetings who are complaining about service or poor service or whatever is drastically down. And so, as I've said before, with respect to the rollout, how smoothly it went and also the performance that we're seeing from Metro Access, I think that's absolutely fabulous. I think the two other areas that are specifically something that we need to point to, and I think between the board, my committee, and members of the disability community, two areas that I'm very pleased about. One, as I've said before, is the lighting. The last reports that I have seen with respect to lighting of the subway stations, we are ahead of schedule. The lighting that's being put in is very much appreciated by the disabled community. It is extremely effective, and I'm hearing nothing but good reports on that. So it's nice to see a project that's ahead of schedule, and we're having an effect. As far as that is concerned. The other area that we're really pleased to talk about also has to deal with bus stops. As we have indicated before, We are interested in getting more accessible bus stops within the jurisdictions. The AAC committee has sent a letter to the Transportation Planning Board on how we plan to work with them to make sure that improvements are made and coordinated with that body. We have members of the committee, of my committee, who are going to be working with the jurisdictions through arrangements with them through the different groups to make sure that we have a coordinated effort. And of course, before we do that, before we, you know, go out and work with the jurisdictions, we want to put together a plan for doing that, that we will be communicated through the board, because we don't want board members to be surprised if we're what we're saying to the jurisdiction. So we want to make sure that's all well coordinated. You, of course, will know how we want to proceed and what we want to do, and we'll get your buy-in on that. As Denise indicated in her piece a couple of minutes ago, the committee is concerned about the fact that there's a pending bus and rail increase and what that effect is going to have on metro access. As we know that any increase is going to be double the impact on metro access fares, that is something that individuals have come to the committee concerned about. And just letting you know that we have some thoughts, we have some plans, particularly Mr. Posner has been helping us crunch some numbers and come up with some ideas through his fair policy working group. So we have some thoughts that we want to work with you and communicate to you on how we can help mitigate perhaps a rate increase on metro access in the future. And also looking at the cap of the $7, we have some thoughts with respect to that that we will discuss with Christian and move up the chain so that we can share that with you once we've crunched some numbers to see what the impacts are going to be on the overall metro access system. I think what we're trying to achieve with respect to the fare increase is that the any increase in the fares are not going to impact people with disabilities, but we want to look at the impact of what that's going to be over an entire system, make sure that there's no risk to the system, and that's the kind of product that we want to give you. So my final word is thank you for a very excellent relationship with the board this year. The meetings that we've had individually with you, we appreciate the working relationships, your communication and trust in us, the working relationship that we have with Christian, Carol Kissel, and the staff general manager has been terrific. It's because of these relationships that we can give you what I think is a first-class committee with first-class recommendations, and I think we're making a difference. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of the board, I want to say that we share your sense that this has been a good year about the management of access issues, and the fact that the executive committee members who meet with you on a quarterly basis have learned a lot about access issues and are incredibly appreciative of both your candor and your aggressiveness about pursuing issues around universal access on this system. I also want to encourage you to continue your pursuit about the accountability of accessible bus stops, because as we've talked before, it's key to the access to our main services for a number of individuals. If they can't access a bus stop, it doesn't matter about the rest of it. They're an automatic fallback onto the regular access service. So we all have an interest in pursuing that particular issue going forward.
Very good. Thank you. We will pursue that, and we will communicate what our plans are up through the chain of command so that it's vetted well within the organization, your organization, before we go out and talk to the jurisdiction. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Phil. Phil just gave me one last thing. Something that the committee has has asked me to talk about also, the hearings that will be coming up. We've had some, we would like to ensure that the hearings that will be coming up, I think January, February timeframe, with to talk about fare increases, will be in an accessible location so that people with disabilities will be able to come to those hearings.
We agree 150%.
Great. We love that. Good. Thank you so much.
Any other comments for Neil? Hearing none. Thank you, and have a great new year.
Thank you.
The report by the Writers Advisory Committee.
I'm Barbara Hermanson, Virginia Vice Chair. Carol Walker had a case. You have in your packet already the December report from them, the chair, and a recap from here. I won't repeat any of that. I just have a couple of comments back from the year that I wanted to share. First is one of the things we implemented this year was the committee concept, not totally unlike your own. And we have very, very high hopes that we would take every list of requests that Laura gave us, or staff gave us, we came up with on our own. Just crank through all of those, like input where it was requested. We fell woefully short of that. We put a lot of things in place. We were very optimistic about how much we could get done in our first year. We learned a lot of lessons. We'll be applying to the future years so that hopefully we'll get closer to that goal that we have. A second is about the customer commitment. We spent a fair amount of time on building our vision of what that might look like and during the course of the year. And we again learned a lesson that when you have 20 people attempting to write a document together, it takes about 20 times as long as you have one person doing the writing. And so we thank you for your patience and also especially for your partnership in bringing that about. Thank you. And then finally, on a personal note, it's been my tremendous pleasure to be part of the leadership team for the BRAC this year. I've learned a lot. I have a lot more to learn, but it's been a wonderful opportunity. With elections for the leadership team coming again in January, I don't know if I'll be back or not, but I do want to thank you for all that you've listened to from us and treating us as your partners. I hope that we came even close to doing. Any questions?
Thank you. I want to say that this has also been, I think, a very productive year from the board standpoint about the business that you do. And, well, you may have some disappointment about not completing your whole agenda. I think there was significant headway made about the customer service standards discussion. We appreciate all of the work that went into that and know in some ways the difficulty that the RAC had in coming to its own agreement about recommendations to the board. It's a strengthened process because of your participation. It makes us all better focused and more accountable about how our customers perceive our service going forward. And it also gives us a methodology and an articulated vision that helps train our own employees about what our expectations are about customer service. So I want to thank you and all the members of the RAC for the work that you put into that particular objective. So thank you. It's been a good year. I don't know if any other members of the board who would like to make a comment.
Customer service.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have the report by the chair, I want to say on behalf of the board that we want to wish everybody a great holiday season, and senior staff, all of the employees, and a wish for a happy, healthy, and safe new year for all of our customers and all of our employees. So it's always an opportunity to set even higher goals about performance, customer service, safety, innovation, and I hope that that's what this new year brings for all of us. I have before us a resolution for approval of new members of the Writers Advisory Council. Because of a number of turnovers in people moving out of the area or resigning for reasons of work, et cetera, we have a relatively long list of individuals to consider for appointment. I would briefly read their names and the jurisdictions of which they're appointed and ask that that serve as a reading of the resolution. This resolution would appoint Jose Morales and Daniel Turk from the District of Columbia. If I'm not good at this yet. Okay. There you go. Oh, back. Okay. Yep. That didn't work either. There we go. Robert Pappas, to the Writers Advisory Council representing the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thomas Drass, to the Writers Advisory Council as an at-large member. Dexter Williams to the Writers Advisory Council representing the District of Columbia to Catherine Cordham to the Writers Advisory Council representing the State of Maryland and Alde Mary Miller to the Writers Advisory Council representing the Commonwealth of Virginia and Barbara Hermanson, Lorraine Silva, Deborah Titus to the Advisory Council representing the Commonwealth of Virginia. With that, I will ask for a motion to approve the resolution. So moved. Seconded. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Corbett. I just wanted to take a moment and welcome the new representative from Montgomery County in Maryland, Catherine Cortham. She's a resident of Silver Spring. She's a avid rider of both Metro Bus and Metro Rail, riding both the Red Line as well as the route along 16th Street that was referenced earlier by the gentleman from the district. She has a great background in transportation, and I'm sure she'll be a great addition to the Riders Advisory Council, and we should appreciate the willingness of people like Catherine and the others that you mentioned to serve on this board and volunteer and use their time for this worthy cause. So I commend her to you for the vote.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, it seems like this is a good time to remind everybody who's listening that both the Accessibility Advisory Committee and our Writers Advisory Committee meetings are open to the public. They're live streamed on the web for people who might like to listen to them. And so members of the and I think both of them have an opportunity for folks to make public comment to them and to bring issues to them. I had the great pleasure of interviewing six applicants for the seat that is Arlington's, which Aldea Mary Miller will fill. But I will say that we had 30 applications and that the conversations and the people that I met were really terrific. And we encouraged each of them to come, whether they were appointed or not, to lend their thoughtful observations to the work of providing us with citizen comments. So I hope that people will take that as an invitation to investigate those meetings a little bit more.
It's also probably timely to recognize that the Office of the Board Secretary, particularly John, does a tremendous amount of work in both recruitment and preliminary screening and reference for interviews. This takes a tremendous amount of time throughout the course of a year to make sure that we have the right people in the right place on the rack and on other appointed areas that the board fills. So with that, I would ask for all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. The monthly report from the general manager.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Today we are seeking the board's approval of the docket for a series of public hearings on fair adjustments and the capital improvement program. At the Finance and Administration Committee meeting earlier this month, board members framed a series of proposals that would fund the FY15 budget in a way that balances revenues from riders as well as taxpayers, all of whom benefit from the regional transit system. The docket before you today seeks feedback on the highest proposed increase for each mode of transportation. For example, the docket considers a 4% increase in Metro Rail and a 25-cent increase on Metro Bus. To be clear, this does not mean the higher level increase will go into effect. The public is being asked to offer their opinions on the maximum possible fare increase under consideration or any increase of a lesser amount. Once the docket is approved, an extensive public outreach effort will take place, including 6 public hearings, 9 pop-up events at Metro Rail stations and transit centers, an online survey reaching thousands of riders, and other opportunities for public education and input. The fare proposals that we are taking to the public are modest and reflect our efforts to keep transit affordable for our riders. In order to balance the budget, we are also seeking to cut administrative costs and increase revenues from advertising and real estate, and we are seeking more support from the jurisdiction. In an effort not to overburden our customers, we are sticking to a schedule proposing fare increases once every 2 years. The feedback that we receive in the coming months will help the board make an informed decision about these proposals and their impact on riders. In order for the fare adjustments to go into effect in July 2014, I anticipate we'll be back before the Finance Committee in early March or April with a report on the public outreach. Last month, the board approved Metro bus schedule adjustments, which are going into effect at the end of the month, on Sunday, December 29th. The adjustments will help to improve on-time performance, reduce crowding, and increase service on dozens of routes in the District, Maryland, and Virginia. Some highlights include new Metro Extra service between Archives and Silver Spring, new service between East Falls Church and Annandale via Culmore and Seven Corners, and additional late-night service on the 30 line between Foggy Bottom and Southern Avenue and Naylor Road stations. We are taking a number of steps to help customers adjust to new schedules, including public outreach through traditional media and advertising on our buses. New bus schedules are available on board buses, and customers looking for more information can go online to amada.com/betterbus or call our customer service department at 202-637-7000. I expect riders will start to benefit right away in the new year from these schedule adjustments. Finally, I want to mention that on New Year's Eve, the system will stay open until 2 a.m., 2 hours later than normal to accommodate holiday revelers. As always, we encourage riders to be safe and use caution when riding Metro. New Year's Eve is a time for celebration, not a good time to wind up in the hospital after an accidental slip or fall. I wish everyone a healthy and happy New Year and look forward to continuing our work together in 2014. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. And I want to take the opportunity to also celebrate the additional services that are taking effect at the end of the month. I think that's a very good news story. It's our attempt to respond to changes in ridership demand and additional capacity to meet that demand. So it's an all-around good story, and I think it comes with happy holidays and the best wishes for the new year. We have next a report by the Finance and Administration Committee. Mr. Acosta.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 3 actions were referred to the board at the December 5th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. The first one is staff sought approval of the resolution implementing the restatement of the WMATA Deferred Compensation Plan and Trust, which provides retirement income and other deferred benefits to authority employees and their beneficiaries. I'd like to move approval of this matter.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Next, staff sought approval to amend the fiscal year 2014 operating budget by $41,880 with funding from the Maryland Department of Transportation for additional bus service in National Harbor. I'd like to move approval of this matter.
Seconded?
Yes.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Finally, the GM CEO presented his proposed FY 2015 operating and capital budgets for discussion. The committee adopted five amendments to the docket of proposed fare adjustments to give the board more flexibility in deciding how to change fares. Staff sought authorization to hold public hearings on the proposed FY 2015 fare adjustments in the budget, as well as the proposed FY 2015 capital improvement program and federal grant applications. I'd like to move approval of this matter.
Do I hear a second? The second?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Bulger?
I just wanted to get a clarification on the docket. If we were to potentially lower parking rates at certain garages, would that have to be incorporated into the docket, or do we not have to do that?
Yeah. Is that?
I don't know.
The answer is no. You have a high amount,
right?
And anything you go lower than that is assumed can be part of the decision.
Okay, thanks,
Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I have a amendment to the motion that we've made, and it refers to a couple of the changes that are part of the docket. And I would move that we change the cash boarding charge for the local limited stop entry on line 25 of the attachment as seen in A from the $2.10 to now read $2, and that is the bus boarding. The second one included in that would be the change to the senior disabled cash boarding charge for the local limited stop entry on line 30 of attachment A, and that one is from $1.05 now to read $1. And the change of the package of the 10 tokens available to organizations entries on line 39 of attachment A from the $21 to now to read the $20. And, Mr. Chairman, I so move, and then we can discuss the issue.
Okay. Second the amendment. The discussion.
Would Ms. Hudgens please say what the first item was?
The first item is the bus charges, the bus cash boarding charge.
It must have been the second one.
And the second one is the senior service. Disabled, and that is also the cash boarding charge, and it would be from $1.05 to $1.
Okay. These adjustments. You said something about a limited stop.
But they're called the local limited stop entry, bus entry. Where those stops are located. This is a reflection on the docket, and it shows some adjustments that we think would be helpful in advertising at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Bulger?
I'm having a hard time following these adjustments. Are we could the proposer give us the line number on
the
docket?
I can give you the page. Let me give you, I think the page number is close to 65. Okay, and 65 will show you the advertised that will go out and those the amendments such as those act.
Okay, can we get this in writing later?
On our desk. I think it's here with the agenda. And I'll repeat it for your benefit. Line 25 is on the first one, on page 65. It follows down for the disabled, line 30, and the next one, line 39.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Testa.
I may ask the proposer for the rationale for these changes.
The rationale is that this really not only changes the fare, but it also provides an easier fare cash fare operation rather than putting the 10 cents in. I think it does not make a great impact in terms of revenue, but it is, does make a lot on boarding time and efficiencies. And I think it's considered an acceptable way that we might consider it because we're trying to do both in balance, not only cost, but also balance the efficiency of boarding. Thank you.
Yeah, has the JCC as a whole reviewed this proposal? I'm just trying to get a better sense of the savings.
Yes, the JCC has reviewed this, and they're comfortable with it. As Mrs. Hudgens indicated, it's really more a practical concern. And I think the 210 was a byproduct of the two fare, bus fare amendments that were made and were adopted in the Finance Committee. And then when we came to find out that that would result in a 210 potential fare product, we went to the JCC. And from a practical perspective, we felt that it would be more efficient to remove that piece from the docket.
And you concur that this is a marginal revenue?
It's very marginal revenue, and actually would probably, in our estimation, it would create, we probably would not be collecting it because it would be very difficult for patrons to be.
So you characterize this as a customer convenience?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Downing.
Yeah, I understand the customer convenience part of it. That clearly is useful. It still does, and I think it is appropriate to maintain a higher cash fare than the Smart Trip fare as an encouragement to move people to Smart Trip. I also would say, even if we didn't adopt this amendment today, we could still do the same thing when we adopt the fare increase.
Sure.
Good.
Chairman.
Bowser.
I appreciate Ms. Hudgens for making them more manageable. I continue to think that the general manager fell in the right place on the bus fare proposals, eliminating this cash price and simplifying the payment structure with $1.75. So I recognize that the majority wants to move this, to hear from the public what they think about it. But I just want to be perfectly clear that I think that the $1.75 price is what will make the most sense for most bus riders. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I would ask for a vote on the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Was opposed? Hearing none, the docket is amended by the motion from Ms. Hudgens. On the approval of the full docket, Mr. Acosta's motion is before us about the full board's approval of the recommendation of the Finance Committee to initiate the public hearing process. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That concludes the recommendation from the Finance Committee. We have a restatement of the WMATA Deferred Compensation Plan and Trust.
I think we missed the end.
I'm sorry, we did. Report by Planning, Program, and Development Real Estate, the approval of the College Park Joint Development Offering.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting of the Planning and Real Estate Committee, the committee unanimously recommended to the board that the Planning and Real Estate office be able to amend its work program to include the College Park station. And so what I'm moving today is that the board agree to include the redevelopment of College Park in the work program for the current year.
Motion made. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. Report by the Customer Service and Operations Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we had heard from our writers regarding the discussion of the customer service value statement, and we've gone through a process in which we have worked with the writers' advisory. They brought recommendation to us, and the staff has also worked in bringing that information of what they've received from the general public on creating a value statement or a customer pledge or how they feel about our services. And through this process and before the customer service was presented at the last meeting on December 5th, and the following was resolution is to be amended on two items that we generated. First, the value statement is presented as part of the resolution, and the second is the summary of the statement. And the revisions are the first within the first paragraph to include state of good repair for and free of accidents where possible in and I have the lines here, and to replace provides immediate information to the public and to the customers both before entering and within the system as well as to add provides actionable information to the public once conditions are assessed. And the last one is lost my place. Revise the last paragraph to discloses information through its quarterly vital signs report and other established reports to the board. And with that motion, Mr. Chairman, so move those changes to both the commitment and the value statement.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, I do think it deserves a little more discussion than that, because I really think that this is a bit of a milestone for Metro in terms of our efforts with our Writers Advisory Council to reflect a statement that we intend to be measured by in delivering customer service. And that was a very important discussion that we had with the writers. The Writers Advisory Council and the Accessibility Council both opined on this. And so it is how we will work and be measured by in serving our customers. Over the next coming months, we're going to be talking about other customer considerations that we'll have. But this is a very big beginning, I think, for us.
It's a very big milestone for us, I think, in clearly stating what our expectations are about the standards that we will judge ourselves by in terms of the delivery of our services.
Yeah,
Mr. Downey?
I think it is an important statement for us. We hope that our customers are hearing it and will be holding us accountable for those results. I also hope that the CEO and the staff will be examining the proposal to see what new practices or change practices or emphasis in the budget or the like will need to be done in order to achieve this level of service that we're committing the agency to.
I don't think we have to worry about our customers holding us accountable.
Yeah.
So with that, I would ask those all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. A brief consent item of the approval of indemnification for two projects involving the State of Maryland and the Virginia Department of Transportation.
So
moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? And I'll just kind of, in conclusion, we're all kind of still getting used to having the entire agenda on an iPad, and they occasionally go dead, and you lose your place. But it's not a perfect process yet for all of us, but it is an incredible streamlining and much friendlier sharing of information about the board's agenda, and allows for a lot more transparency. So if you have a little bit of patience with us about getting occasionally lost in the technology, we'll promise to do as well as we can in the new year. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Jurisdiction reports. See, it's at the bottom of the agenda. Hey, another technology, small item. I do not believe that the district has anything to report. Or
show action.
They do.
Yes,
all right. Well,
just very quickly, I wanted to report to the board and all listening that my committee at the Council on Economic Development has jurisdiction over WMATA matters, and I want to thank the staff for participating in a joint hearing with me and our Transportation Committee to review the status and how our new Kids Ride Free on Metro Bus program is working. We had some very valuable feedback from staff on improvements that we can make from the district's Department of Transportation. And I just want to let everybody know that we're working on those things. We all view it as a tremendous success. We have noticed some shifts from rail to bus. When we'll hear more about what that means for the rail, but what it means for the bus is that we're going to probably need to make some new investments in added service, and we're working on those things. But I will say that the WMATA staff, along with the DDOT staff and a lot of other DC staff, took a program that was funded in the summer and had it up and running by the start of school, and that was no small accomplishment. There's another phase of how we're going to be counting the kids getting on the bus, and we look forward to any support we can provide in making that transition as well. But I really want to extend our really hearty thank yous.
Thank you. Northern Virginia? Maryland?
No.
The federal government?
Yeah, just a quick report. As you know, the Senate yesterday passed the budget resolution and associated legislation, clearing it to go to the president. Under that agreement, there now will be a full-fledged appropriations bill for transportation, which will include items that we're concerned about. I'm sure we'll be watching closely to see what the Appropriations Committee does, but it will be certainly a much more regularized process than it's been in the last couple of years, and there's room for some upside for us. Also report that the Congress, many in the Congress have made significant efforts to try to get the commuter benefit extended. I don't think that's going to be successful, but I also see them not saying they've given up on it. Hopefully by January we might see some progress there as well.
It's hard to imagine a less regularized process.
Yeah.
that concludes the reports. Hearing no other business before the board, I would adjourn this meeting and wish everybody a happy and prosperous new year.